You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Parliament unanimously passed the Russia Sanctions Act last week in response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The act was passed with urgency, and Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern says it would be able to target those associated with the invasion, including people, services, companies and assets. I spoke to Sarah Salmond, partner at Minter Ellison Rudd Watts, who is currently helping clients navigate these new sanctions. I started by asking her what sanctions are and what is their objective.
So sanctions are prohibitions or restrictions that a government, like the government of New Zealand, will impose on foreign governments, regimes, entities and people with the objective of tackling an issue that's of concern. So the objectives of sanctions are twofold. You want to punish bad behaviour and you want to incentivise the targets of sanctions to change their actions. So in the current case, we have the New Zealand government targeting a lot of entities and people in Russia with the hope that that is going to lead to Russia's ultimate withdrawal from Ukraine.
How much business do Russia and New Zealand engage in? Is it enough for these sanctions to have a meaningful impact?
So New Zealand has a relatively healthy export trade with Russia. We send quite a few primary products, so butter, seafood, apples, meat, etc. We also import goods from Russia, and that's predominantly fuels and fertiliser. But perhaps more important than that, we have other economic ties with Russia. So a lot of New Zealand's financial institutions, super funds, banks have investment portfolios in Russia. We also have a number of service providers who provide high-tech items to the Russian economy. So, in fact, New Zealand's economic relationship with Russia is a lot more complicated and deeper than many people might expect.
The Russia Sanctions Act, it's been described as historic legislation that signals a major shift in New Zealand foreign policy. Why is this?
So, up until this new piece of legislation was passed, New Zealand could only impose sanctions on foreign entities and governments if there had been a UN Security Council resolution authorising those sanctions. And so this new piece of legislation actually gives the New Zealand government the opportunity to impose sanctions irrespective of whether there's any UN Security Council resolution.
Do you think that this re-establishes the argument for an autonomous sanctions bill in New Zealand? Should we have a permanent mechanism for imposing sanctions?
So that's a really interesting question, and that's going to be an issue for debate for the Parliament in the years ahead, no doubt. I think it was very important to act quickly to address the situation in Russia, and the government needed to pass Russia-specific legislation to do that. There are arguments for establishing a more general autonomous sanctions piece of legislation, but one of the risks, of course, is if we have the ability to oppose autonomous sanctions in a wide range of circumstances, we're going to find people from right across New Zealand requesting the imposition of sanctions in response to a lot of situations of international concern, and that's going to divert a lot of government resources and have implications. So we have to carefully do a cost-benefit analysis of whether having a wider autonomous sanctions regime is in the net benefit of New Zealand Inc.
What kind of action have we seen from Russia in response to these international sanctions so far?
So what we've seen, and I should add that, you know, it is not just New Zealand sanctions that are suddenly going to stop the war in Russia. It's the cumulative effect of Western government sanctions on Russia that will prompt a difference. So what we're seeing is the Russian government are, in response to Western sanctionings, are turning inwards. They are restricting media coverage. They are imposing their own countermeasures. So now what we're seeing is the Russians are passing a lot of presidential decrees at the moment which prevent strategic goods, services and capital investment and foreign exchange, importantly, from leaving the country. So they're very much turning inwards and trying to support their people, probably with the ultimate objective that the people don't turn on the government, because one of the primary things that the sanctions are targeted to do is to put pressure on the Russian economy and therefore on Russians and prompt them essentially to turn on their government in response.
You've been advising clients on how to comply with these new sanctions. What kind of difficulties have you run into so far?
So all sorts of interesting difficulties. I mean, one of the key problems with sanctions is that quite often a company that's in New Zealand is not just subject to New Zealand law. So if you're a New Zealand business and you have New Zealand directors and you sell New Zealand produce and you sell it in New Zealand dollars, well, then in that case, you're only going to be subject to New Zealand law, and we're advising them on what are those provisions and whether they can or can't do business. But the global economy is so much more complicated than that now, and what we find is a lot of New Zealand businesses actually have an American parent or an Australian director, or they sell actually a finished product which largely relies on American IP or American input, and they trade in US dollars. And as soon as you have all those sort of foreign links to your business, there's a very high likelihood that you actually need to comply with other countries' laws. So the thing that we're doing for our clients is working out first what laws apply to you. And then when we know the answer to that question, we look at the relevant laws and go, these are the restrictions that apply to you. These are the risks of continuing to do the business that you do. And if those risks are too high, then we make a plan for how can we help you to exit that business as soon as possible and as soon as required.
Will these sanctions be felt by everyday New Zealanders?
No, probably not. Not in a material way. So they'll be felt by people who have shares in certain companies that might be impacted. They'll be felt by a number of us with our, you know, KiwiSaver portfolio if we had some investments, because some financial institutions are going to make a real loss on Russian investments. And the primary reason for that is you can't exit those investments. You can't sell them to anyone, but their value is tanking because the value of the ruble is tanking. So there will be some minor impacts in that regard. Probably the thing we will notice most is increasing prices for grain, because Russia and Ukraine are two of the world's largest grain producers. Similarly, increasing prices for fuel, and we're seeing that now as Western governments turn off the tap on Russian oil and gas. The global supply of those products is reduced, and therefore, by definition, prices go up. And the other area where we might see an impact for a wider group of New Zealanders is fertiliser. So Russia exports a lot of fertiliser, not generally the type of fertiliser that New Zealand uses, but in general, if you take their supply out of the market, you're probably going to see an increase in the price for fertiliser, which will be felt by farmers across the board.
That was Sarah Salmon, partner at law firm Minter Ellison Rudd Watts, discussing the new Russia Sanctions Act.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.